Yes.
Shalom, church.
God bless you. Another Skype. Brother Chijoke from Norway. Pastor, please explain Revelation 12:1-6. Was it about the birth of Christ, or was it purely about the Jews accepting Jesus Christ? My confusion is in the line that says, and the woman fled into the wilderness. Does she have a place prepared of God, because the Jews have 3.5 years of the 70 weeks? Also, Jesus preached for 3.5 years. There's a mix up there, Brother Chijoke. You are mixing up something. Revelation chapter 12 is entirely Jews. It's Jews. The part that speaks about the dragon that, you know, came upon them as a flood is the last 3.5 years. That is the period of tribulation according to the divine timetable. Now, listen, Brother Chijoke. The last 1 week that is left, after it was suspended, out of the 70 weeks of Daniel, 69 weeks were fulfilled when Christ was cut off, according to Daniel chapter 9, according to what the angel told Daniel. On the 69th week, they crucified Jesus Christ. Remaining 1 week to complete the 70 weeks. Between the 69th week and the 70th week is the Gentile church age. When the Gentiles go in the rapture, then Jesus Christ turns to the Jews for the last 7 years, the last 1 week. Now you are mixing it when you say Jesus Christ preached for 3.5 years. That has nothing to do with the last week. The last week, praise the Lord, starts after the rapture takes place. It begins with the Antichrist signing a covenant with many nations, including Israel, for 1 week, according to Daniel chapter 9. It is that last 1 week. The first 3.5 years, the two prophets in Revelation chapter 11 prophesy, Moses and Elijah anointed, and exposes the Antichrist that is sitting in the temple, and he will bear it for 3.5 years. And after 3.5 years, that same Revelation chapter 11 tells us that he stands up and kills those two prophets. That is when he said the covenant will break, because according to Daniel chapter 9, that he breaks the covenant in the middle of the week. So after 3.5 years, he breaks that covenant. The remaining 3.5 years is the time of Jacob's trouble, prophesied by Jeremiah. That is the period of the great tribulation. That is the period that you will be forced to take the mark of the beast, or you will not buy or sell anything. It lasts within that period. And that is the period he faces the Jews. But as that Revelation chapter 12 tells us, there is God himself made provision in the 2 wings of an eagle. That is the way it is put there. And then a place of safety is kept for some of those Jews that will escape, so that the Antichrist will not finish them. So that is the clarification you need to hear. God bless you. Yes.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Sir, I was in a bus day past. A man was preaching about dangerous prayers. So he used Jesus Christ as an example, that if Jesus Christ did not say, "Let your will be done," he won't die. So I don't know, maybe the prayer of "Let your will be done," maybe it's a prayer, is a dangerous prayer or not.
You don't want the will of God to be done in your life. But Jesus Christ, in teaching us prayer, he said we should say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So we must submit ourselves to the will of God. Our prayer every time is, Thy will, Lord, not my will. Correct. Yes. Yes, sister.
Shalom, sir.
Yes.
Please, I want to know, if will Judas go to hell?
Will
Judas go to hell?
He's known as the son of perdition.
May his name is written in the book of life.
Where is it written?
He was among the 12 that went, that God gave authority to.
Praise the Lord.
And
okay, let's open Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 7. Let me read it from verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Judas was among them. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. What you rejoice on is because your name is written in heaven. Do you know why he made that statement? Because he knew who everybody is. Okay, let me read another scripture. John chapter 6. Another scripture. John chapter 6. When Jesus Christ began to tell all those multitudes that we are following him. From verse 65. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. I tell you, I don't answer. Yes, sir.
Shalom, church. Pastor, my question is from Luke 16, 23 to 24. It's a popular story of Lazarus, the rich man, and Abraham.
Yes.
Now, Lazarus went to heaven after suffering. Then, I want to ask, why going there too? While in heaven, he still rely on Abraham's bosom. I want you to explain that for me. Two, let me ask the two so that you can take the two questions. Then, the rich man died, and afar off saw Abraham. Instead of telling Abraham to give him water, he still tell Abraham to send Lazarus. Even in heaven, that's what
I want you to understand something. Even thousands, more than almost 2,000 years after the death of Abraham, the Jews in John chapter 8 were boasting to Jesus that we be Abraham's children. Do you understand? Abraham is the beginning of God's covenant with Israel. The whole Jews came from him. So, anywhere he is their father. Even in the spirit, they give him that respect. That is why it sounds like that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Praise the Lord, sir. My question goes to Pastor Thomas.
Pastor Thomas, come. He says it's you he wants to ask. Am I the one answering questions?
Praise God.
No, we are the one answering.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Your teachings, sir. last time, when you are teaching us about your last message, about the millennial reign.
The millennium reign.
Yes, yes, sir. When we come to reign with Christ in the millennial reign, that anyone that commits sins at that time will be killed and his head will be cut off. So I'm trying to also make me to understand that place very well. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53, that says, "For this corruptible must be put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality." I think by that time we'll be putting on immortality, and we won't be able to commit sin at that time. So how come that, please? Can you explain more so I will understand?
Okay. Praise the Lord. I believe, I don't know whether you are actually following closely. Now pay attention now. Now, in the eternal age, in the kingdom age, that is the millennium, it is not, we are going to have kingdom eight subjects. Now you and I, if we fulfill, we qualify for that life. The Bible says at the end of this age, there are going to be the resurrection of all the bright saints. And you and I, if we live to that moment, we shall be changed in the twinkle of an eye. Therefore, you and I, the righteous ones, are going to receive a glorified body, a body that will overcome death. We shall go into the kingdom age or into the millennium with that angelic body, where we shall not die. Amen? And in that body, we have overcome sin, because sin cannot reign over that body. Now, but before, now pay attention. Now, when Christ comes, hallelujah, now at the end of the day of the Lord, the 30-year period when God will judge this earth.
30 months.
Amen?
30 months, not 30 years.
30 months. Where God, sorry, 30 months. Thank you, brother. Where we judge this earth. At the end of it, there are going to be judgment of the nation. Human beings will remain upon this earth, because the Bible says men will be few. Now it is those few that will remain before the kingdom starts. God, Jesus, will separate the sheep and the goat from among those ones that remain. Now the righteous one, he will move them as mortal men to the kingdom age. So in the kingdom age, you will have people with a glorified body, angelic body. You also have people with the physical body to be in the kingdom age. And it is those people that will repopulate the earth in the kingdom age. Are you following me? Now, those people that repopulate the earth in the kingdom age, remember, they are still carrying the body of flesh in them, where sin reigns. But you see, because the Prince of Peace himself will be reigning upon the sea, and Satan has been taken away out of the way and locked up in the abyss. So inspiration to commit sin or iniquity will be very tiny. And Jesus and his bride will rule with a rod of iron. So the penalty for any offense in the kingdom age, for those mortal men of the kingdom age, any offense you commit that time, there will be no question of transfer judgment or delay judgment. They will execute judgment upon you immediately by killing you. So your death will hold your body. Your soul will wait there in hell for the lake of fire judgment. That is why throne judgment. So it is all the mortal people that are will move into there that will have opportunity to commit sin and be executed. Not all the saints of God that pass through their testing and that will receive a glorified body to the kingdom. Those people, second death had no power over them.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
My second question will go this way. So I want to see, not to you, sir. I cannot face
me, no.
Yes, sir. Praise God. Now, to those people who were not a privilege or opportunity to make the rapture, and to some of them, who we passed through that time, and we are able to survive by still sticking to God. And we are not able to take the mark or the beast or whatever thing that will come over that time. Where would they be? Would they still be able to make it?
In Revelation chapter 20, that is why Satan is loosed again for a short period. Remember that in the millennium, just before the millennium starts, he is put in a bottomless pit. He is to remain there for 1,000 years. During that 1,000 year period, the earth is being repopulated. This time, only with the knowledge of righteousness and peace. But God also, in his foreknowledge, knows that among those ones, they are just being obedient now because they don't know any other, they don't know devil because they didn't know anything about Satan and demons. So that he will judge them very well, that is why he releases Satan for a short period of time. Then he goes out and tempts those people again, and some will follow him. That is why you see the war, Gog and Magog. That's why you see the war, Armageddon, and the rest. They will follow him. Then the final judgment will come. Those who refuse to follow him, he gives them eternal life. Those who follow him, pack all of them to the lake of fire. That is how the timetable is.
Okay, thank you, sir.
God bless you. Okay, I will just take 1, 2, 3. The last two people, please, if the Lord tarries, we will hear from you because our time is gone. Thank you, sir. Brother, thank you. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Trinity only.
Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Shalom. And my first time to be here. I love such segments, sir.
Your first night to be here?
Yes, sir. My first time to be here.
God bless you.
Happy to see you, sir.
God bless you.
Sir, my first question is, when you talk about brother, I totally disagree. I will call you a pastor, or I call you, because I must...
I didn't say you are wrong. You can call me pastor. That is who I am.
Okay.
But depends on how I relate with you. I am either your pastor or your brother. Whichever one I am to you, call me. I will answer you.
Because,
thank you.
Because scripture says you should give honor to whom honor is due.
Pastor is not an honor. Pastor is not an honor. Praise God.
Please, sir, I have a series of questions, but let me see if I can beat them bit by bit in order for us to leave you on time. So the first question is from the book of Luke chapter 7, verse 28, where he said, "For I say unto you, among those who are born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." So I begin to meditate on this. I don't know actually how John the Baptist was so among the least. And even in the sense that someone even told me that John the Baptist didn't make heaven, which I don't know. So I just want to know, sir.
Who told you he didn't make heaven?
No, just someone behind. See, the scripture was saying that.
So you don't know how he's the least?
Sir, I don't understand.
Praise God. Okay, you are coming for the first time. Our members can give you the answer. How many of our members know the answer? Everybody should know the answer. If you don't know the answer, you are a mumu member here. I've answered that several times. John the Baptist, his ministry was a ministry of the Old Testament. He was not in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, we have two covenants. We have the New Covenant and the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant that was done away with for the better covenant to come, according to Hebrew. The Old Covenant was a covenant that is sealed with the blood of animals. So no matter how great you are, John the Baptist, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than you because he's under a better covenant that is filled with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist, because everyone else under the law, we are greater and higher than them. That's why we are going up before the Jews. God bless you.
Thank you, sir, for that explanation. And also, sir, Luke 22, verse 35 to 38, when they said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scribes and shoes, lack ye anything, and ye say nothing, then he said unto them, but now, he that has a pot, let him take it, and likewise his straps, and that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this is what is written, that ye might be accomplished in me, and I have been reckoned among the transgressions for things concerning. And behold, Lord, behold, are two swords. And he said unto them, it's enough. So I want to understand. Christ was telling them to buy sword. You know, I want to understand, sir, please explain. Sword.
It is a kind of understanding that made Peter to stand there that day with his sword. So when they came to carry Jesus Christ, he removed his sword and cut off somebody's ear. And Jesus Christ still warned him there again. He took the ear and come it and warned him. He that live by the sword will die by the sword. So you have to understand the scripture. Because Apostle Paul, more revelated than those who walk with Jesus even physically, he told us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen. But against principalities and powers. Against the spiritual wickedness in high places. And in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, put on the whole armor of God. And the last thing he described there is the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. So, what is Jesus said, telling his disciples to arm themselves with? Revelation, the word, the sword of the Spirit. God bless you.
Thanks, sir. So I want to understand, self-defense, like in a set like this, you know, the evil, terrorism, you know, in our nation now.
There is nothing like self-defense, because that same Jesus said, if they slap you one cheek, you should turn another. So where is self-defense?
Okay, sir. Another one is, his question is coming. He said that the book of Jude, verse 9, he said that why did God bury Moses by himself in the book of Deuteronomy 34, verse 6? Why did God bury Moses himself?
Why
did God bury Moses himself?
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Why did God bury Moses?
I believe. Remember that it told him to go to a mountain. It was when he got to that mountain that he died. I believe that for two reasons. One, I believe that where Moses was, nobody could go near it. And he must be buried. But more importantly, I believe that the way that the Jews took him, before you know, if they know where his grave is, they will go and make an idol of that place and begin to worship him. That's why God made sure they don't say where he buried him. Thank
please,
you.
Lastly, sir, please, lastly. I come across this difference. Is there anything between the book of life and the lamp book of life? Is there any difference?
There's no difference.
Okay, sir. Thank
you,
sir.
The same book. Thank you.
Praise the Lord, church.
Bless you.
Please, Pastor, my question comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 22. That place says, but I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, rascal, shall be in danger of the council. My question comes from this place. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Please, I want to know the kind of fool that is referring to here.
You should not abuse anybody. Simple. It's simple. Don't abuse. Don't insult anybody.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Yes?
Shalom, church. Pastor, I have two questions to ask. But one of the questions has been answered in some of your messages or question and answers in respect of the...
Okay, so which one do you want to ask
today? The question I want to ask now is concerning the Holy Communion. There are some churches who prepare those who want to receive the Holy Communion by going through the confirmation class. Then a bishop will lay hand and ask them to say after them. After them they have been confirmed, then they can now start receiving the Holy Communion. Now, is it biblical in going through a confirmation class? Then the second question is that how do we know the characteristics and the factors surrounding those who are supposed to be receiving the Holy Communion? That's the second one. Then the third question goes...
Your second question is who qualifies to take communion?
Yes.
Okay.
Then the third question goes like this. Is there any judgment or punishment for he or she that goes back to his vomit after receiving the Holy Communion? Thank you very much, sir.
Jesus. God will judge this denominational spirit. They have created confusion. I preached a message that I titled The True Confirmation. Try to get it to listen to it. The True Confirmation. And that message came about through the testimony of a sister. That sister Nena. That sister had an experience that I believe was a true experience with the Lord. And in the course of those periods, she was having those experiences. You can hear that in the tape title, Yet Another Day. Yet Another Day. And she was, I think, Catholic or Anglican. Catholic. And they had been telling her, her mother had been telling her to go for catechism so that she can be confirmed. And they were devoted Catholics until something happened. She came across this ministry and the Lord began to show her some things. Now in that revelation, she saw herself before their bishop or priest in the Catholic Church. And they were doing the confirmation. And when it got to her turn, the bishop stopped and looked at her and passed her. And she was wondering why he passed. And he turned and said that you have already been confirmed. You don't need this confirmation. And she too, she was confused. That is why I preached the true confirmation. What is confirmation? What are you confirming? There is something you are confirming. What is confirmation? It's confirmation of your faith. Which faith? That you believe that Jesus is your Savior. That you believe that He's your Redeemer. That you believe it is for your sake. He died on the cross on Calvary. And He said, come to me, and you have responded and you have come. That faith that makes you give your life to Christ. He said, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That when you come, what He does to you is the confirmation of the faith that you have in giving your life to Him, Jesus. And what is it that He does to confirm your faith is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the confirmation. It is called a seal. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. It is God's finished work of salvation in you. That is the action that brings you into the body of Christ. Church, listen. That you get convicted and you decided to come to the altar and give your life to Christ does not make you a Christian yet. You have only answered the call. And you must wait on Him to make you a Christian. And it is not coming to the altar. What makes you a Christian is you coming into the body of Christ.
And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, it says, for by one spirit are you baptized into the body. You are born, you are your father's son because you were born into that family, correct? What's your father's name?
Opara.
Opara. Yes. Your own name is?
Chukwu Emeka.
Emeka Opara. All your father's children are answering Opara.
Yes, sir.
Now, they are Opara because you were born into Opara's family.
Yes, sir.
Can you join that family?
No.
Eh?
No.
Can you just say, this family is very good, so let me go and join and become Opara?
No, it's not.
Uh-huh. So, you are born into it. So also is Christianity. You are born into it by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost brings you into the family. Now, you can be called a Christian. That is the confirmation of your decision to follow Christ. Now, but the denomination, they do it to make you a member of their church. So they are only confirming you to be a member of the church, not a member of the body of Christ. So you have to take note of that. What's the other question?
The second question is, what are the
factors? Okay, the evidence that you have the Holy Ghost. You cannot talk of the evidence until you ask the purpose of the Holy Ghost. What is the purpose of the Holy Ghost? The purpose of the Holy Ghost is to give you the power to become a son of God. John chapter 1, verse 12. He came to his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the son of God. The power to become a son of God is the power that transforms a sinner to a saint. So, what is the evidence? If a man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things become new. All things are passed away, and all things become new. So number one evidence is that your nature will change. Your thinking will change. Your sinful nature will change. You will love God. You will fear God. You will hate sin. All of a sudden, the bad things you used to do, not because somebody is preaching it, but you just find yourself, naturally, they are just going, no more interests. That is the power you have received. That is number one. And then, amen. He's also a teacher. He will lead you to all truth. He will lead you to all truth. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He's a teacher. He's a teacher. Have you finished your question?
Remains one. The third one is that after the Holy Communion, and then the person go back to his or her former way of life, is there any punishment or any judgment for such a person?
No, you Holy Communion is you confessing, identifying with the death and burial, remembering the death, the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What he did to save you. The price for your redemption. That is what you are remembering. So if you come and you say you identify, you remember it, and you finish taking and you go back and you live in sin, then it simply means you are not converted. You are a hypocrite. That's all. That's all you are telling the whole world. Because anyone that comes before the communion, if you come and you begin to meditate on that flesh of Jesus, what he went through for you. After every communion service, for a long time, you will be so engrossed in the love of God and appreciating his mercy. But the truth is that preachers don't even present the communion the way it should be presented. So people don't reference what they are doing because they don't even understand the meaning. That is why. If you come like that, and then you go back and live the same old sinful life, how has that flesh and body benefited you? So you are like Apostle Peter, I think the one that said it, that you are a dog going back to his vomit. So you are a dog, you remain a dog.
Thank you very much, sir.
Can we clap our hands for Jesus?
Clap your hands for Jesus now.